So that was, there were a lot of big words in that scripture, and I did listen to what they were supposed to sound like before saying them, but, you know, it was a lot of pressure. Took a little bit of courage. So as we get started today, we are continuing in a series about grace and grit, and we'll talk more today in the sermon about, we'll kind of go over grace and grit and all of that, but today we're talking about Deborah's grit and how God's grace empowered her to do this big thing. So why don't we start by watching this little quick video. Yeah. We not only feel for that puppy, right? But because we feel for that puppy, but we feel that puppy, don't we? Right? Have you ever felt like that? You've come up against an obstacle or a situation where you just felt like, I'm just going to stop. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to take the next step forward. Or maybe you didn't have the courage to take, you know, you had everything you needed, but you didn't have the courage to take the next step. Or the pressure, the fear was overwhelming, right? That puppy could have made it down the stairs, but when you're staring down those stairs, it's a little bit scary. I do. I feel for that puppy. I've been there for sure. I mean, this is a really stupid example, but sometimes my Wi-Fi is an obstacle, right? Like, I don't know how to overcome that obstacle. But even as I was thinking of, you know, watching that little puppy and thinking about obstacles in my life, I mean, I had about 3 this week that were like, okay, we've hit another obstacle. How are we going to overcome that? And we all know that, right? We all know what it is to have obstacles and to have to overcome them and to be faced with situations that sometimes aren't as simple as our Wi-Fi, right? Or coming down some stairs, but are far more complicated and can stir up all sorts of feelings in us, including fear. So I trust that watching that puppy and just thinking for a second, you've got a couple of things in mind, obstacles, situations, where you've had to struggle to figure out the next step. And maybe that's something that you're going through right now. Maybe you've got a situation in front of you that's an obstacle that you have to figure out how to overcome. Maybe the obstacle in front of you is fear itself. Maybe it's a relationship, right? There's an obstacle in a relationship that you have to figure out how to get over. Maybe you're so deeply grieving something that you can't figure out what lies beyond this? What is the next step forward? Maybe you don't know what you're supposed to do next. What am I supposed to do with my life? What am I supposed to do for work? Am I supposed to go to school? Where am I supposed to go to school? Right? We're faced with these decisions that can present themselves like obstacles all the time. And when we're faced with these obstacles and decisions, it's usually fear that is the obstacle itself. It's or a fear that lies underneath of the next step. It's the thing that keeps us. Sometimes it's little fear, and sometimes it's big fear. But it's the thing that keeps us from doing what would get us through the obstacle or over the obstacle. But God doesn't want us to be fearful, right? God doesn't want us to be fearful or hopeless. And God is capable, ready, and willing to help us overcome these obstacles. What if we thought about it as the Lord is at the bottom of our stairs, right? Calling to us, telling us that we aren't alone as we take those first steps. God's desire is that we would be full of courage, full of hope, fully living a life of faith where we confidently connect our story to God's story and to trust that God has gone ahead of us, right? We see that in verse 14 in the scripture today where Deborah says, "Has not God gone before you?" And she's trying to help Barak understand that he doesn't need to be afraid because God's already gone before him. So we're looking at Deborah today, one of the most esteemed women in the Bible. And if you haven't heard of Deborah, or if you want a little refresher on Deborah, she's the first female judge of Israel, but she's also a prophetess. She's a noble, and she's an esteemed leader in the nation. And when the rest of the nation of Israel thought the odds were against them, Deborah is the one who stood upon her confidence in God. She stood upon her confidence in God, in God's promises, and in God's plan for Israel. When everyone else felt defeated and oppressed, she had the courage and the conviction to act. So she's a judge and a prophet, but she's not just any prophet and she's not just any judge because she's a female judge and a female prophet. And that's a big deal at this time, right? It's kind of a big deal now, but it's a really big deal then. And so as we think about, you know, the context of what is a judge, especially in this time, it's not like we think of a judge who presides over a court. Yes, there was like handling disputes and things like that, but a judge was more of a military leader, like a regional political leader or a tribal leader, a governor. Often a leader that would rise up and in the context of faith would rise up to call people back to God. So she's a judge and she's a prophet. And one of the important roles of a prophet is to know and understand the character, nature, and story of God so intimately that they call the people back to accountability, that they call them to remember who God is and who God is calling them to be. And a true prophet invites people back into restored and reconciled relationship with God. That's what a true prophet does. So Deborah, prophet, judge, she had wisdom and authority. But what was different about Deborah is that her leadership and authority, it wasn't born out of strength or position or anything like that. It was not an authority of force like a typical military leader that had gone before her. Instead, her authority came from within. It came from within. And with wisdom and inner authority like Deborah exuded, people pay attention. Deborah became so esteemed. Deborah had such power because she had something deep within that called people to pay attention. Because when you draw upon that strength, people want to listen to you. They want to draw close to you. And there had been other prophetesses before Deborah, but never one that led the people like she did. Because as I said, in this time, in this culture, women were forbidden to study under rabbis, to lead men, or to teach Torah, or to make decisions, like most decisions, but specifically over the people of Israel. And yet here she is, Deborah, prophetess and judge, drawing the people to her because of her knowledge and wisdom of God. She was well versed in Torah and was able to mediate the disputes of those that came to her. She was also able to lead, and she was able to speak to who God is, who God was calling the people to be. And she had grit, right? She had grit, and that was good because she would need it. So today, with the scripture we read, comes from the book of Judges. And we learn throughout this book that unfortunately, when Joshua died, the Jewish people still had some tough lessons to learn. They were a stubborn, hard-headed people that kept repeating the same mistakes over and over. And their cycle of stubbornness was that after a time of prosperity under a good leader, they would stop honoring and worshiping God. They got complacent and comfortable, didn't really need God as much, which led them to rebel against God by turning to idolatry and forgetting their covenant. And then, consequently, they would be overtaken by foreigners and forced back into oppression. So then they would need God's help. They would call out to God for forgiveness and rescue, and they would find deliverance, in this case, through a judge. And that person would lead them into a time of prosperity and renewal. But the cycle was that they would reach that time of prosperity and renewal only to have the same thing happen again and again. And I really feel them, right? Because I am super stubborn. And I'm sure I can reflect on many cycles of my life that I live on repeat because it hasn't quite clicked yet that that's what I'm doing. So I do feel for them, but Deborah, they needed Deborah and her grit to help lead them out of this cycle and into freedom. At the beginning of Judges 4, it says, "The Israelites again did what was offensive to the Lord, Ehud now being dead. And the Lord surrendered them to King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. His army commander was Sisera, whose base was Harosheth Goim. The Israelites cried out to the Lord, for he had 900 chariots and had oppressed them ruthlessly for 20 years. Even though the tribes of Israel had been reestablished throughout the land, they're under the oppressive rule again, this time of Jabin, whose armies are commanded by Sisera. So the Israelites do the thing that they do, and they call out to God, but God had already found a faithful leader for them, Deborah. So Deborah, who dwelt so richly in God's word and God's works, was able to hear and discern when and where God was calling her to action. That's really important. Deborah dwelt so richly in God's word and in God's works that she was able to hear and discern when and where God was calling her to action. Deborah had the compunction and composure and the wisdom, that deep within wisdom, to know when the time was right. The Israelites had been oppressed for 20 years, and now as they called out for salvation, God would deliver them. So Deborah summoned Barak, a military leader. She knew when and where and who to call, right? And I want to also take a note as we think about Deborah's leadership, especially as a woman at this time, that when we say she called, she summoned Barak, she had enough authority and respect as a leader that when she called for him, he came, right? She didn't have to send, she didn't have to like go get him, she didn't have to go looking for him, she didn't have to send people after him. She called and he came. And when he arrived, she told him, it's time. So she says, go to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. This is a pivotal moment. That same moment that we all have when we're faced with obstacles or decisions, right? That moment of truth where a decision has to be made, where we have to take the next step, where it's right in front of us. So what did Barak do? He said, nope, I'm not going alone. And what the scripture tells us Barak actually said was, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I'm not going. Barak was afraid, right? Because underneath all of the obstacles that we have to overcome is fear, whether it's little fear or big fear. And I would say he had reason to be afraid, right? This was a big deal, but Barak lacked what Deborah had. He lacked inner confidence. He lacked assurance. He lacked trust. And he lacked faith, frankly. But he also knew that Deborah had what he lacked, that she exuded authority, that what she exuded was the authority that comes from God. And that's why he listened. That's why he submitted to her leadership. So Deborah, with her wisdom and her grit and all of her leadership and also her grace, said, certainly I will go with you. But you need to be aware that there won't be any glory in it for you. It will be that God will use a woman's hand to take care of Sisera. So this is his chance to change his mind, right? Okay, well, if the chick's going to get the glory, I should probably reconsider. This is his moment to find his own grit and to do the scary thing. But he wouldn't do it. So as the moment approaches, when Sisera called up the 900 chariots and all of his troops, Deborah tells Barak, charge! This very day, God has given you victory over Sisera. God has given you victory over Sisera. And then she says that important phrase. She asks the question, has not the Lord gone ahead of you? Deborah had unfailing persistence. Deborah had confidence, an ability to keep going because she knew deep within the promise of God. And as she told Barak to charge into battle, she reminded him to hold on to faith and confidence in the promise that the Lord had gone ahead of them. And so, because Barak respected Deborah, he did what she said and he led the troops to Mount Tabor. They were definitely outnumbered. The other army had far more advanced technology in their 900 chariots, and their warriors were probably better trained. And I would imagine that Barak's army was fearful themselves, right? They were facing a giant obstacle, an obstacle far more powerful than they felt that they were. And what we're told is that as Sisera's forces were drawn into battle, they became mired in the mud of the Kishon River. The Lord threw Sisera's troops into a panic. Barak's army overtook them all. And so it was that God used a woman to bring victory to Israel that day. Deborah shows us what can happen when we trust that God is at the bottom of our stairs, waiting for us, calling to us, asking us to take the steps that only we can take because God has gone ahead of us. God is right there waiting for us to take the step that often we're afraid to take. Deborah shows us, reminds us, knows that God is in the world working for good, for our good all the time. In the United Methodist Church, we call this prevenient grace. And the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, wanted Methodists to understand that it wasn't that God was only with us now, right? God is not only with us now, but that God is out in front of us and always has been, lining things up so that we can be victorious when we approach those obstacles or situations. He goes before us so that when we step out, we can have that same victory and we can do it without fear. So to go over, you know, this whole concept of grace and grit and what do these things mean, right? We understand in the context of watching Deborah, but as we think about this for our own life, grace is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is the free gift of God. And the free gift in this context, when we talk about prevenient grace, is that God's unmerited favor has gone before us, right? And that's why we can have confidence too. Hope is the seed of faith that is planted in our hearts as we experience, accept, and know God's grace, as we believe in God's promises, and as we step into God's story, the story that God has gone ahead to prepare for. And we've discussed how grit is passion and perseverance for long-term goals. Grit is more than talent. It's more than training and trying. Angela Duckworth is an author who's studied and written on this topic, and she says the essential aspect to having grit is an ability to keep going no matter what adversity may come. It's the driving force to overcome any obstacle which tries to stop us. And when you think about that, we often call that hope, right? The ability to keep going no matter what, the driving force to overcome any obstacle which tries to stop us, we call that hope. And that hope is born from something deeper, not just our own capability or control or our own intelligence, but the fact that we know that we can lean on a God who is ordering all of creation always, and that includes our life too. So the grace that dances with grit, the grace that has gone before us, God's prevenient grace, is the grace that Deborah was grounded in as she led the Israelites to redemption. And that's what gave her the grit to keep going in faith and hope. That's what gave her the grit to say charge instead of being afraid. So if you are on social media at all, read the newspaper, if you do anything in media, you know who Chip and Joanna Gaines are. Although I have learned this week that there are people who I thought would know, who don't know who they are. I know. It's very alarming. So we're working on educating them. And if you've watched them even briefly, you know they're two very different people, right? Married couple, two very different people. I'm not going to fill all of you if anybody doesn't know who they are in, but just ask me later or Google it. So two very different people. Joanna is an introverted rule follower, and Chip is an adventurer. And they did this interview for the I Am Second Testimonies. which I love. It's a lot of celebrity testimonies or people with stories. Many of them are about overcoming obstacles. And in it, Joanna says, "If I didn't have Chip Gaines in my life, I would still be dreaming in my head." And while they're different, what's important is they both know who they are. And that's the first step of living in grace and grit, knowing who you are and who God has created you to be. Our very primary identity is found in God and is created by God's grace. So we must be connected to God to know who we are and to receive these gifts of grace and grit and wisdom to know what to do and when to do it. So we're going to watch just a quick minute or so of their story.
I have learned so much about order and structure and processes through my wife, and God is all of those things to me now. But at the beginning, God was just chaotic to me. He was wild. He was untamed. He was unruly, and I like that.
But God had a funny way of bringing me Chip to almost have this reality of what it's like to follow Christ, which is a lot of the things are going to push you to a place of discomfort. A lot of things are going to push you to a place of freaking out. It takes someone who's externally this, whatever
right,
that
processes,
is.
Processes, yeah.
Because it helps me get it out there, because it's healthier to be out there than it is just let it all kind of play in my mind. I don't want to be in the box anymore. I don't want to play it safe. Because where the impact is over here on the other side.
You were like a flower in desperate need of water. You blossomed in a way that was really fascinating to watch.
I was made for a reason, and I need to let whatever God has created me for, that needs to be known. I don't need to stay hidden.
So she said, "I don't want to be in the box anymore. I don't want to play it safe." That's grit. Right? Now, creating a home decorating empire is quite different from saving a nation, right? But what's important is that we remember that we aren't all called to be Deborah. We aren't all called to charge into battle and to save, you know, a nation. Right? We're also all not called to a home decorating empire, but we each were created with gifts and passion and filled with grace and with the seed of grit planted within us. In order for us to be the grace-filled, gritty people that God has called each of us to be, we must look to God. Because it's not just Deborah, it's not just Barack, it's not the Israelites, it's not Chip and Joanna, it's not Ashley, it's all of us. God has done that for all of us and has gone before each of us. So will you be like Barack, who said, "I can't," or like Deborah, who says, and because she knows, "God has gone before me"? Will you believe that God has gone before you and live into your purpose and have the courage that no matter what pressure you're facing or obstacle is in front of you, that you can overcome it? Michael Jordan has a quote that says, "Don't be afraid to fail. Be afraid not to try." And I really like that, because there are very few things in life that God can't help us pick up the pieces of. In fact, I would dare to say there's none. So as we prepare to go out today and face whatever obstacles are before us and be equipped to conquer them, there are three things I want us to remember. The first is we have to trust in the presence of God with us. We have to trust in the presence of God with us. Number two, we have to take the steps that only we can take. And number three, we have to remember the calling of God. And if we don't know what it is, we need to do the work of connecting ourselves to God so that we can hear it, so that we can discern what God is calling us to. So if you can only remember one thing from today, one thing from Deborah's story, I would want you to remember her confidence in God. because the God who loved Deborah and the people of Israel in her time loves you and your family and your church and your community and the world that you live in right now. And that same God who equipped Deborah, who told Deborah to call Barak, has equipped and called you to do things in God's name. So Deborah's challenge is really to all of us. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?